Young Gatita.
And now she's a fucking counterculture group.
And we got to go to one artist. Of her first shows. And that was sick. Yeah, shout out to Counterculture for fucking picking her up. Victor, we see you.
Shout out to everyone.
Where's that interview, bro?
What the fuck,
where's
man?
Where's that interview at? Yeah.
Yeah, fuck this.
My girl's friendly with a lot of white people, so I'm okay too.
I'm getting in there. I'm making my way.
Hello, whites.
Welcome back to the US podcast. Yes.
Hello, fellow whites.
That's how we try to blend in when they eliminate us. Just be like, hello, fellow whites.
I love being white.
You don't have to exterminate me. I'm just one of y'all.
Look at me just hanging out here, fitting in like a fellow white.
And then they like look at you like.
They just smell the seasoning on you.
Honestly, the taste, the flavor. They just smell the flavor.
Well, this is Level 2. Thanks so much for coming back. This is, once again, the Us Podcast. A podcast about us.
It's all of us, bro. Oh. And we're here finally. Fucking finally.
Long ass time in the making.
Yeah.
With the main man himself.
Hell yeah.
Counter Vic. Woo! A.K.A. Vic. A.K.A. Victor.
Yep.
Victor Valle.
No, keep going.
No, I'm just kidding. A.K.A. the machines. A.K.A. the boss.
A.K.A. Justin's daddy.
That's right, boy.
Did we run through all the nicknames you've had, or have there been other ones?
Pretty much. No, I had, as a kid, I had Viclo. That's only because Victor's a family name. So, like, my grandpa and my uncle are named Victor as well. So, I'm technically Victor Valle III.
Oh, shit.
That's my fancy bitch name.
Another
when
third.
I'm coming through and I'm like, hello, fellow whites. My name is Victor Valle III.
Victor Valle
III.
That's Victor Valle III.
That's exactly what I do. Because anytime, dude, I was just on the phone with my bank the other day and I was calling them and they're like, oh, cool. Can you spell, like, what's your name? And I'm like, Victor Valle. And they're like, say the last name one more time. And I'm like, it's like Valley without the Y. That's my go-to. It's like Valley without the Y.
Something
I recognize. Yeah, okay, sounds good. Yeah, it makes everybody feel better.
Speaking of like being on the phone with banks, every time I'm talking to someone at the bank and they're like, hello, ma'am, how can I help you? Every single time.
I just had to take a second to process with that.
Like,
man.
I'm just like, what's your name? I'm like, Angel Salinas. And how can I help you, Mrs. Salinas? I'm just like, what the fuck?
We have those voices. We have high-pitched voices. Even Vic, I love his voice, too. Because I remember when I... Okay, bro, I have to tell you this first, okay? This is funny. We went to a party one time. Angel, do you know what I'm about to tell? We went to a Halloween party last year. I was faded off my ass.
Wait, I think someone told me this. You saw someone who looked like me?
I said, Victor. It's like, good to meet you, bro. I'm like, and I mentioned something about Katsuo, and then he just went, yeah, man, shit's crazy right now. He played that part so well. So then we were going to San Francisco. I get to see Victor again. Like, you haven't met him, dude.
Yeah,
that wasn't
like, no, dude, he was at the Altons music video. I'm like, dude, he was not.
What?
And then I was like, oh, you said hi to my friend Alan.
So Alan just straight up pretended to be you.
Oh, shout out my friend God. Alan.
Hey, dude, I need to meet this Alan guy. That's amazing.
I have a picture right here of my friend Alan and then Victor. They look exactly the same.
Oh my God.
They have the same smile, so I was just like, hey man, he's just out here partying in some random house, Victor. I'm like, dude, fuck yeah. Dude,
that's so
good
crazy.
To see you, bro.
For some
that's
reason,
crazy.
Katsu's over here, Victor's over here. I don't know why. I guess we're beefing or
no, but like every time you hear about Victor, though, like you, like I remember, like when I would hear, you know, that Justin was in a company with this guy Victor, I'm like, man, like he sounds like someone that you can't fuck with. And I think that super rings true. When we first met him, it was at Young Love. When we popped in the beginning, and then we like took a nap there after our trip.
Oh yeah, that was a really nice day. We were so fucking tired, and we just pull up to Victor's house.
Cause we drove all night.
Hey bro, can we sleep here? And the Katsu boys had just finished sleeping there.
I know. I remember you guys pulled up, and I'm like, I don't know if I can fit another brown body on my floor. And it was funny because I've housed a lot of people in that place. So I was like, we'll try and squeeze them in the kitchen. We'll see how it goes.
Dude, that's going to be a fucking a landmark one day. It's like, all these people came through and slept here.
They slept in this very room.
In this room. Yeah.
So talking about homes, you've recently changed homes.
Yeah. Right. So home base is now LA again.
Woo, like, again?
And that's coming.
I'm from LA.
Oh, you're from LA?
Yeah, I'm from here.
we learn something new every day.
How long were you out in the so you're coming from
I'm coming from Oakland.
Oakland.
So I grew up in LA, jumped around East LA, family ended up in La Puente, and then that's why I have a 626 number. And then moved to the Bay for school, was in San Francisco for about 4 or 5 years, and then Oakland for about 4 or 5 years.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ensconce yourself in Bay Area culture?
What'd you call me?
What'd you ensconce?
Ensconce?
I'm trying to use that word a lot, ensconce.
No, but I think I enscant.
Ensconced my
ensconce.
I am ensconced. No, I mean, I think it's... When I jumped in, it was like, I'm still like LA boy. There was like, you can't take the kid out. You can take the kid out of LA. You can't take the LA out of the kid. I rolled up with my Cortezes and like some Dickies. And I'm like, what's up?
Some Poke Labs.
And they're just like, what up, bro? I'm like, whoa, this is different, fool. This is different than what I'm used to, dog. I just kind of jumped into the scene pretty quickly, man. I tried to like figure out the music stuff there like as quickly as I could.
And had you always known that you as like is that what you went out there for to become?
No.
Music manager? No.
No. I went to school for journalism. I thought I was gonna be like a hardcore investigative journalist.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was out here playing.
You're like, dude, for some reason my mom.
Don't laugh at me, triggered.
You said hardcore investigator, and I instantly thought of CSI. And I just I thought seeing Victor roll up to the crime scene and just be like, all right, what do we got here?
Pendejos. Yeah. That could be my tagline in my show.
All right, pendejos, what do we got here?
Victor Bayer, Etres. Like CSI. I'm ready.
We got here, wait. So that's why I laughed. I didn't laugh at the thought of you being a journalist.
Triggered.
No, yeah. It's cool. I failed as a journalist, obviously.
It's weird. Yeah, no. So how did that transition happen? What was, because that's kind of a pretty drastic shift, I think.
Kind of. In careers. I think I grew up playing music. So I grew up, my dad was a musician, family of musicians. I played music. The story was I could play before I could talk, like all that stuff, whatever legend story you want to call it.
Wow.
And then, wow. That's gonna be in the movie. No, I'm just kidding.
It's like, dude, I was fucking shredding before I could even walk. Real. My mom said so.
Real. And so I basically was doing that growing up, and then was touring and playing music in high school, like hardcore punk bands and stuff. That's kind of the scene I grew up in, and. As I was doing that, I was enjoying it. I loved it. It was amazing. It was cool. But I had, like, no real intention of really going to school. I wasn't really sure what I was going to do and was just kind of working. And so after kind of figuring that out and realizing, like, I loved playing music but wasn't really fond of being a touring musician and, like, consistently being on the road, like, that just wasn't my thing, I tried to figure out something else I could do around music. So... In high school, I started a music blog called Through Victor's Eyes. It was like really artsy. It was like Victor, VICKTORS. I don't know why I did that.
Oh, shit.
I thought it would separate me. Yeah, I don't know. It was ridiculous.
That K is dangerous.
Exactly. It was on a Tumblr. I made like slaps. I like put them.
Was it all like lowercase with like periods at the end?
No, actually. I made this. I gotta see if I can find it. I remember I had one slap, and one of my friends came up to me the other day. He was like, yo, check this out. And I was like, no fucking way. It was like a Through Victor's Eyes slap that I had made like when I was like 15.
What's a slap?
It's a sticker. It's a sticker that you make on like the USPS sticker postage things because they're free and you can order them online. Graffiti artists. It's like what we used to do back in the day.
I know.
You order a whole pack online for super free and like or cheap, and they come to you and you can print like designs or whatever on them.
Cool.
Life hack.
Yeah.
Life hack.
If you're looking to get your brand out. I hope. I mean, at least we could back in the day. I haven't done slaps. Or, like,
they fucking caught on. They're like, all right.
Yeah, they're like, all right.
No one's
actually, party's over.
Why, for some reason, do we not have any of these stickers on our postages?
Why does this fucking sticker say Through Victor's Eyes?
Exactly. So I started this whole blog, and the only intention of doing this blog was to get into shows for free. Like, that was it. I just wanted to get into shows for free. I was broke and poor, and, like, I had no way to pay for tickets, so I wanted to get into shows for free.
So you posed it as, like, a
blog.
Like a music review? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
We just reviewed shows and artists and albums.
And it was
stuff.
Just you?
It was just me, Through Victor's Eyes. So I interviewed a bunch of artists and, like, the DIY scene, started building, and then slowly started kind of getting into venues, and they would let me cover them on the blog. I mean, this is when blogs were so early, though. Think about it. Like, this is 10, 11 years ago. You know what I mean? Where, like, you're out there and not many people are doing it and, like, not spending the time to develop a blog or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I did that for a while and then came up with the idea for like a blog that would be much more coverage and stuff. So in my head, I was like, I'm going to be a music journalist. Like, I'm going to go, I'm going to do some like really dope features for Rolling Stone. And then I also want to do investigative journalism. So I went to school for that and was doing it. Like, I was writing for newspapers. I was writing for a bunch of places. I did a lot of like investigative reporting.
Did you expose anybody?
I exposed a bunch of like mismanagement in SF for like artist funds and stuff. But that's SF, pretty much
what
it.
The fuck?
I was still doing, I was always like.
So no spotlight shit?
No.
I was going to say, that kind of sounded like mini spotlight. Like, can you believe how they're handling their money?
Yeah. I mean, it was really just like a moment of trying to figure out how to make things easier for artists. Because, like, SF's housing crisis is so horrible. There's no funds or any way for artists to avoid or to afford the rent. Mm-hmm. So at that point, you're dealing with a place that's about artists with an artist commission, but artists can't afford to live there. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of work I was doing. And then did a lot of work about, like, mental health writing. I did a lot of writing about the foster care system, just a bunch of random stuff. And then in, like, junior year of college, I was sitting at a desk doing crime reporting for, I was doing work at the Chronicle and then at the Ocean Beach Bulletin and at the Public Press, which are just three different publications. And I was like, I fucking hate this. Like, I hate having to call the sheriff and be like, so who died and how'd they die? It sucked, dude. I'm still on SFPD crime emails. Really? I don't want to know. I keep emailing them, please take me off this listserv. And one of the guys finally responded and was like, sure. And I was like, okay. And then today, literally today, I got an email from them.
It's like two people died.
Someone was found hung.
It's literally like homicide reports. It's like
DUI checkpoints, all this shit. This is all going to come back to haunt you one day. It's like, did you know Victor is subscribed to all these homicide reports?
Fuck it. I admit to it right now.
And someone goes missing on his watch.
Yeah, I'm trying to get it off. Yeah. Help me.
Like, help me get this off. I'm not an investigative journalist anymore.
So did that feel like a big eureka moment for you where you're just man?
No, it wasn't eureka, man. In college, anything that comes to you in the middle of your college career after you've either spent a lot of money going to college or spent someone else's money going to college or money from somewhere going to college, because I got like mostly full ride, is basically like, what the fuck am I going to do now? am I
going
to do now?
It was like, I've been going on this path for so long, and now all of a sudden I want to take a left turn and go somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess you would think, you know, it's like a moment of liberty, but it's like, no, like, now I don't want to do this
shit
anymore.
It's liberation, but it's confusion and liberation, because you're just like, wow, I can do anything. Fuck, I can do anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Which is both like liberating, but also restricting and like concerning in itself.
It's nice seeing your path.
Yeah.
And then when you decide, I don't want to go this way anymore, you turn around and you see all these fucking different paths and you're like, shit.
Yeah, exactly. So I had to like go back to the basics. I was thinking, I'm like sitting in my dorm. Actually, no, I was in my apartment at this point. I'm sitting in my apartment and I'm like, all right, don't want to do journalism anymore. I've pretty much done the majority of the degree. Like, I'm just going to finish it. But what do I want to do? What do I see myself doing? So I kind of tried to figure out what I loved and what I enjoyed, which is really hard. Like, I don't know if you've actually spent time thinking, like, what do I actually enjoy? What has actually brought me, like, joy to my life? Like, things that I enjoy rather than, like, what has been imposed on me, right? I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just for me, but I felt like that was a difficult moment for myself because I believed, like, you should be successful. You should have a job that pays well. You should have a consistent job. All these things, right? Like,
were all these things that you put on yourself, or were there other people telling you?
It's a familial thing, man. It's first generation things. You know, it's first generation to go to school, first generation to do all that. Like,
yeah, see, I didn't really. I mean, I kind of had that. My dad in the beginning was very like, go to college. Yeah. But I think after like they started seeing things like happening, they like eased off. So it is still like tricky for me to hear, especially from like people that are like super confident like you, to hear that like, yeah, people didn't believe in me. I guess that's where the skin comes from,
right?
I mean,
yeah, and I think that tough skin is kind of what makes you be like, fuck it, I don't need anyone to believe in me. And I think that's, I've built this for myself. Like, granted, I've had amazing teams along the way. I've had amazing people I've worked with along the way. Like, and even now I have the best team I've ever had in my life. Like, that's a bunch of people coming to and really seeing a vision and going behind it. But I built that vision. I like structured that. I figured out what worked and what didn't. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, at the end of the day, I didn't need anyone else. I didn't take anyone else's help. And I kind of tried to do what I wanted to do. So I went back to the basics of like, I love music. I don't want to play music, but there's a music industry. So maybe look into that. and then just went dived into it. I started managing, or I started working at a management company that managed the Postal Service, Death Cab for Cutie.
Shout out High School Angel. Say,
yeah.
Shout out High School Angel. Pretty much low key, like all that indie stuff that I listen to, they're based out of San Francisco. Like all of them, She and Him, like all those acts and stuff.
All the fucking. Yeah, listen to all exactly. That shit. Dude, we were just talking about Zoe Deschanel.
I was gonna say
the
that
Postal Service. Like I'm over here crying to the Postal Service and shit. Yeah,
fucking Transatlanticism. Yeah. Fucking best album ever, dude.
So I went to go work at this management company, and in my head, managers were like the devil. It's like,
yeah.
You don't do management. Like managers, you don't work with managers. They're the worst. They just steal your money. They just do all these, like, shady things.
They do.
And that's the mentality. No, but, dude, it's true. No. It's 100% true. Like, the stigma comes from somewhere, yeah. Right? It comes from somewhere. So when I was working at this company, I learned a bunch of amazing things and how important the position and role is, and also the fact that that is still true to a certain extent, right? Like these are managers, those managers that people kind of paint portraits of are like managers from the 70s who managed like yeah. Jefferson Airplane and all these acts who were like doing coke in the back room and then like taking all the money, whatever, right?
Yeah, that's like
the cigar and the big pinky ring and shit.
All the classic like movie biopics.
Paul Giamatti, like literally just Paul Giamatti. Exactly. Paul Giamatti is what everyone thinks when they hear music manager. But like we emphasized in the episode even where we interviewed Justin, like that mold is breaking, and yeah. I think that's badass.
But that's also because who can be a manager is breaking, right? Because
right.
Think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So like
there's a lot of rich people that were
or
trying
people
to...
who have been curbed in the industry for so long, like you, it's like a familial thing that you get into management or some sort of industry, music industry position, right? And now it's like you got folks from Southeast LA, from East LA, from all these different places in the valley, like really going in and being like, I want to start a scene in my community. I want to uplift the artists I see. And then they start managing, and then they start booking, and then they start doing events. Like anyone can do it at this point. Granted, not everyone can do it well, right. But everyone can do it, right? And the accessibility is there. So it's like, I was at this point where I'm looking at an industry that's predominantly white, male, older generation, right? And I'm like...
Bunch of Paul Giamatti's.
Right.
Or products of nepotism.
Exactly. And I'm looking at it and I'm saying, I don't want to be a part of this, but I want to do this. So just because this is kind of how I work, I like jumped around a bunch of different places to make sure that's what I wanted to do in the industry. I like was at a publicist. I was working at... I helped to work, like start a new venue, did some label stuff, did like some music startup stuff. So I like jumped around and did a couple of different things and realized I liked them all for different reasons. But a manager gets a chance to do every part of that. Like, you are literally on the ground with the artist trying to build and trying to do stuff and trying to come up with the crazy ideas and just make them happen. And I love that. I love the proximity to the artist. I love that it's not like, you know, when I working in promotion, doing events and stuff, over time, your success is built off of how many tickets you sell. And that sucks. Like, granted, I love creating experiences. I love being able to... That's why I love doing, like, promoting and putting on events and doing concerts and festivals. I love it, but it always translates to how many tickets did you sell. Not did we help the artist succeed. Because success for an artist is so vast, can look so many different ways. Mm. And I much prefer that. But I gotta pay rent. Mm.
So, I guess, in that sense, like, what does success... mean for you then? Like how do you gauge
that's an ever-changing definition, man,
and let me shut the door.
That's an ever evolving thing. I have a habit of and I'm trying to get better about this because self-awareness is key. I have a habit of not really enjoying moments to celebrate and rather just thinking about the next thing. So I feel like I've gotten to a point where I'm like, I don't really know what that looks like now. I have an idea of end goal, but end goal looks different for each person that I work with. And that's the best part of it, is like there's a lot of different goals and tasks along the way.
May I ask what end goal means?
Like, this is where I want to get to.
End goal.
Well, you know, but...
But so, the issue is there's never really an end goal.
Okay.
That's, right? That's the thing.
That's what I'm asking, yeah.
Is like, you give someone... So for some people, they want to get to a place...
You tell someone like, all right, your career is over in 2030.
Yeah, right. So but I think it's like some people really want to see themselves like, I want to go top, like I want these big things, yada, yada. And as you go, that either changes or morphs or your priority shift or whatever. It can be 1,000 different things, or it can remain the same, right? And that is the goal, to get there. And obviously, there's a whole other conversation about what that looks like and what yada yada and all this stuff. But nowadays, you can be an artist, make a living, do really well, and you don't have to be a Beyonce. Everybody wants to be a Beyonce, but you don't have to be one in order to make a living and like enjoy life.
It's true. You can just chill, make fucking.
There's no chill here. No chill.
Never mind.
No chill here at all.
So.
I think a cool segue about talking about people that make music on their own is our homie Katsu, who
Shout out episode, I forgot what number it was,
eight?
But
he was, I was gonna say eight.
He was one of our first guests.
Eight sounds like a good number.
Looking back, how little like we knew about him when we interviewed
about
him.
Paul.
Yeah. Like, I feel like we were very new in the friendship.
That's true. Yeah, like, it was pretty surface-level questions. Do you love your fans?
No. I remember his sentence. He said that. He was like, no, I don't.
I hate my fans.
Put it on the record now. Katsu also hates you.
Forever, we will have fucking Katsu also playing guitar in your room. That was
a very,
cool.
Very special moment. But yeah, those are one of the artists that you manage. And could you give us a lineup of all the talented acts you're in charge of?
Yeah, so we got Quita Penas, The Altons, Nicotine, Gatsu also, obviously, Young Gatita.
Ooh, yes.
Emily Afton, yeah. Queen's Delight, Jay Stone, Icon, Maya. And then we're working with a couple of other artists that I can't say yet.
This man. Right here.
And
that's just like on management stuff. We've kind of worked with a couple of different artists for other projects.
That's true. Fucking crazy. How the fuck do you have time to be in all these people's lives?
I don't sleep much. I don't sleep much. I drink a lot of coffee. I cry myself to sleep. I'm just kidding. No. I don't know, man. When you find something you love, you just make it happen, right?
Oh, yeah. That's like even with this show, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, you guys have put so much time and energy into this. Like, you probably have so much other shit going on. Like, you make it happen because you want to.
I think, I get that. It's like a good exhaustion. You're just like, fuck, I'm tired, but it's like...
There's nothing else I'd want to be tired about.
The best quote, I had this on my computer for a while, and I feel like I should put it back up, but the best quote I ever heard was, exhaustion through passion is a blessing. And I still think it's true.
I love that because, I mean, I'm going to kind of talk about like a personal thing, but even today as I was like loading up all this shit from my room and like I'm really tired and I'm like hungry and like I'm feeling shitty because my phone froze and shit in the middle of like updating and I'm all tired, but I'm lifting all this shit and I'm putting it in the car and I say, you know what though, like I'm glad that I get to do this. I'm glad that I have people that are down to do this, people that we can talk to, people who watch our show. Like me live, like this is like the least I can do to really bask in gratefulness of like the fact that we have homies like Victor or just, you know, or family, you know, just like love us.
Oscar.
Support. Yeah, Oscar that will show Oscar out. Right here. That will show up and show out for
woo-woo.
Us.
Woo-woo. Damn, look at this.
Give a little woo-woo, Oscar.
We'll take it.
But anyway, yes, no. I really admire that, and that's why I was really excited to have you here because I knew I'm like when we see Victor, I'm gonna get like a pick me up because this foo's just like uber confident and like I need to bask in.
I appreciate that
bad foo energy, you know.
Damn, that's nice to hear. I don't think too much about it, and sometimes people are like, man, you just seem so confident. I'm like, I'm just winging it. Like,
yeah, dumb. Yeah.
I go in, I'm like, fuck it. Here's 10 different ideas. Let's eliminate 3 of them and let's go from top to bottom and see what works. But no, I mean, you guys are like the epitome of what that looks like, you know? It's like, we all got other stuff to do, we all got other life things to handle, but, you know, when you want it, and you make it happen. You just don't.
And it happens
away.
When it's gonna happen, because we tried to interview Victor before.
Yes, bring it up!
He's throw me under the bus.
Victor was gonna be the first
he was,
episode.
Yeah, our season opener, that was the idea.
Drove all the way just for Victor.
No, and we 2 hours before.
We were there for a fucking concert. We didn't go.
That's true.
We were going to do 2 birds with 1 stone.
But in Victor's defense, when we got back home and we like got our, like, because we had brought in like Oscar had lent me, I think Oscar, did you lend me like a camera?
No, Abel had a camera.
Abel lent me a camera. Somebody lent me a camera like, oh, we're going to take this to interview Vic. Well, when we looked in that camera, there was no fucking batteries in there, if you remember. I was like, it was a blessing in disguise that Victor did
all
happen.
I remember is I'm like, yo, I can't do this. Like, hey, I don't got the time to sit down and do this right now. I'm so sorry.
Dude, and like, all transparency, I was so pissed.
Oh, yeah. We were like, oh, no.
No, I get it. Yeah, I get it.
But, dude, if that had been the first episode, it would have started the season off so badly.
Because we would have had to resort to my cell phone and be like, hey, welcome to the first episode in this dimly lit living room.
Like, we didn't have this format yet. Right. We didn't know what we were going to do.
I mean, y'all got a whole setup. Look at you. Yes, this is way better.
Hell yeah. Oh, yeah. But way better than what you would have gotten in Oakland, for sure.
Like, so much dope shit has happened from then until now that we can do three fucking episodes with all the shit that's happened, but we're not.
And even then, like, yeah, it's a good thing, though, like, because, yeah, this was the this should be a lesson for anybody. Like, that story it taught me once again, like, yeah, like, when things don't happen, it's for a fucking reason.
Yeah, so don't be mad.
Like, don't be like, ugh, because then when I looked at it, I was like, damn. I was like, ugh, thank God.
Oh, I thought we were prepared. And, dude, we went through so much. It's like protecting that gear. We were in the fucking
damn it, Justin. But anyway,
fuck you, Justin, with your fucking the homeless guy.
Oh my God, Peludo strikes again.
Dude, the fucking tenderloin ain't no joke.
That shit's horrifying. Well, now you don't have to be dealing with that city anymore.
Well, regardless, I appreciate you guys having me.
Of course, man.
I know it's really hard. My schedule kind of sucks, but I love it when I'm here. Yeah, I'm like, here. It's all about showing up, right? It's like,
yeah, absolutely.
When Victor's here, we fucking party hard.
But now he's really here.
Now he's really here.
Spiritually, emotionally, metaphysically.
Has your workflow changed at all moving back to LA?
I take a lot of calls driving. I take a lot of calls driving. And I already did that kind of in the Bay just because out of necessity. But now I'm driving so much more.
Dang.
So
I bet you're in traffic a lot more. Or is it kind of the same?
Yeah, no, it's the same, if not a little better. But it's different. Because LA traffic, everyone's like really on a mission. Yeah. And the Bay, everyone's stoned. So it's kind of like they're driving. They're you go. And then you got this like mania ass Oakland driver taking the left, hooking left, just doing a donut in the middle, and everybody's like, just hold back, just wait for him.
Yeah, and then you got fucking Chris driving down that fucking curvy street.
Oh my god,
Lombard.
I think it's San Francisco.
Lombard.
Yeah, that big whirly street. I was stoned, and I'm just like, guys, I don't know how I'm making this happen.
And I was in the back like, oh no.
You know, that's actually not the curviest street in the world.
Is it not?
No. It's just so funny. I have like a San Francisco tour that I developed when people would come visit because I'd be like, oh, let me show you around. It's actually like south of the city is this curviest street, and it's longer and it's much curvier. It's pretty crazy. I used to go and just like, for fun.
Is it like doable though? Is it like,
yeah, 100%.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's just doable. Like, it's doable, but it's tight. It's like super tight and it's long.
Dang.
So you
that's what she said.
That is confusing, but okay.
Carry the one.
Carry the one.
So you were talking about this empire that you've been building, as well as the team that you've been building. When did you decide, I'm going to start a fucking company, I guess? Yeah. Would you call it a company? It's called Counterculture Group.
Yeah.
Company?
For sure, company. This is actually my second company. Oh, I started my first company in college. And that was the first publication that I founded because we actually started developing ad revenue and I started kind of bringing on a bunch of different college students to work with me. So I had USF, SF State, and some folks from Berkeley all come and meet, and we had like 20 writers, editors, and stuff. Wow. And then we were doing like ad placements and buying. It was, once again, the early era of blogs, right? Mm. And we were just doing a lot of coverage. And it all started from a similar mentality of, we want to get into shows for free. And, like, be able to...
all these poor college kids. Like,
yeah!
Right!
Think about it. Why... Well, okay, I'm not going to say this. Never mind. I was going to say, why pay for a concert ticket? But if you want to go to a concert, pay for the concert ticket.
Pay.
No, pay for the concert ticket.
You heard it here, folks. Never pay for any fucking concert.
None of these guys. I quit. I'm out. Just kidding. But, you know, if you can get into a show for free.
Do it.
And you're a broke college student eating top ramen trying to, you know, enjoy some art.
Which is all of us.
That's true. Dude, I've been spoiled this last year with all the fucking musician friends we've made. It's just like, I can't go back to paying.
Dude, yeah, no, I never asked. I have to say, Angel has some balls because every time he's like, when Justin's like, oh, we got a new show coming up. He's like, Angel's like, guest list.
I'm just like, guest list? Eyeball emojis? He's
like, I'm saving that spot for my mom.
Damn it, Justin.
That's literally Justin.
Like, all right, I'll pay, but. if I cannot pay, that'd be cool.
can you cover weed?
Yeah. And so Justin, as everyone knows, is a fucking a counterfoo. He is a part of this counter team.
Counterfoo through and through.
Yeah, foos are gender neutral.
Run through all the counterfoos.
Oh my God, we got a big team.
The team.
Yeah, we got a big team. We got 10 people between here in LA and the Bay. So we have Caro, we have Christian, Isabel, Irene, and Devin, Justin, myself, Vartan, Julian, and Claudia.
Fucking
bang.
As if you guys don't know who all these people are. Yeah, I'm like,
we'll drop them.
And here's their full names and their socials are.
All their pictures are popping up right now, Editor Chris.
Dang, give me more work.
So, what do you see? What did you see in all? Do they all share something in common, do you think? Did you get them for different reasons?
That's actually, I've never been asked that. That's a great question. So, all different reasons. That's good. I like that. I like when I'm asked questions I haven't been asked. All different reasons. So, when I first started managing after I left the management company, I started managing on my own. Mm-hmm. It was someone who I met through the publication I was running. I was just getting ready to shut down the company, kind of sell off the rest of the assets that we had. When I was the last show I was covering or doing for that, a good friend of mine, Morgan Manifassier, was playing his last show, right? So, or one of his like last shows in the Bay before he moved to New York or something like that. So I went and we talked and he was like, what are you up to now? What's the next move? And I said like, oh, I really enjoy management. I enjoy it a lot. And then he joked, he's like, you should be our manager. And I was like, nah, probably not. Like, I don't really know much, but I'll keep it in mind.
I'm good.
Yeah, like, yes. You're like, I'm cool. Good, but I really liked him, but I just didn't feel like I had the skills, you know? Mm. And then he was like, no, you should be our manager. I'm like, And then 2 weeks later, we signed a contract. And that was kind of the start of it. So I managed under VCV Artist Management, which is my initials, did that, and then kind of came up with the concept for Counterculture just as a management company. Mm-hmm. And then that slowly developed. We're about to hit our 4 year in January, but we just hit our 3 year this past January into Counterculture Group, which is basically like a full kind of creative artist agency of sorts. So we do management, but we also have marketing stuff that we do with certain clients. We have publishing, we have the record label, we have productions, a bunch of different stuff. So I kind of came up with that concept of this like basically major label approach with like an independent mindset. So why do major labels like Universal and Sony and all these places have entire teams built within their company? Uh-huh. And after dealing with a bunch of bullshit of hiring people out and like them doing horrible jobs and just sucking and us paying a ton of money for it, I was like, I should just develop this in-house and like really get a team of people who I trust and believe in, because then I don't have to worry about quality control. Like, we know what we're gonna get. Right. Granted, there'll be some things we'll have to hire out for or whatever, but at the end of the day, we have all the assets and resources we need, and it's in our family. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I love that. That's what I wanted to do. So that's how Counterculture Group came to be. Took about 3 years to, like, get the right team of people. So we went through a couple different people. Some people were like, I don't really know if I want to do this. Some people, it just didn't work out, whatever it may be. And then finally kind of ended up on the team we're at now, and it's been amazing. So each person's come on for like a different set of skills and different set of things that I've seen in them. Some people are like really strong in design. Some people are just really good with people, and like I can see the potential of them developing their, you know, skill set more in order to like do management or do something. But I was actually just on a call on the way here, which was like figuring out kind of what the roles of each person could look like, thinking of development for each person individually, you know what I mean? And like what they want to do in addition to like, this is what we need to do for the company. So all different things.
And when did it feel like, I don't know, does it feel like you're doing, like you're making all the right moves as you like go about your days?
Yeah, I hope so. I think it's, you get so, once again, this is one of those moments where I'm like, I don't celebrate my successes really well. I need to get better about that. But you go through things and at some point you don't worry about whether or not it's good or bad. You just do it and you make it happen and you like adjust along the way. You know, like the concept changes. Like, we have an idea to do this huge project, this event series, right? Mm-hmm. And we're gonna do this event series, we're gonna take it to multiple cities, and it's all to benefit the community, right? And to provide back somehow. You have that general idea, and as more people's input comes in, as you have more sounding board, you have more back and forth, more brainstorming sessions, it changes and it morphs. And you understand along the way, like, oh, we actually can't do that, but we can do this instead. So it's like, I get so caught up in the process of like, let's do things, let's think about the bigger picture. I don't really think too much about whether or not I'm doing the right thing. Not that I'm like out here burning bridges and like fucking people over, but like, you know, being a good person along the way and just thinking about like, nah, we're just going to make this happen. Like, let's just make it happen.
Well, that's cool. I don't know. I really fuck with that too, because I mean, like, I love that it started with music management, but then it just, you know,
I guess you would say it evolved or just like,
I don't know, vine.
I like that.
We're just like wildfired into just like this whole thing where you get invent.
It sounds like it kind of just grew like naturally. Like it was like we're getting so big that we need all these added people, and it was just like a natural growth. It wasn't like, okay, now it's time for expansion round two. It's just like
the goal is always world domination, but I'll be a really nice dictator. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'll be nice. Really caring. Everyone gets free access to resources, but I'm the boss. No, I'm just kidding.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, that's no, why they call him
El Jefe.
Vote for me. Yes. But no, you're absolutely right. It, like, just kind of, we saw the need for certain things, and once again, along the way, changed and morphed.
I'm putting myself in your shoes. The growth would scare me. Mm. Has there ever been moments where, like, you were scared about how big this thing was getting?
Man, I guess so. I think if the fear, I guess not the fear of growth as much as the fear of like we're not like doing the best we can do with what we have so far. You know what I mean? Like,
I feel that. Absolutely.
I think it's like running into circumstances where we're like, we're growing, it's getting bigger, it's good, but we need to make sure we're still doing like justice by the things that we've already taken on. Mm-hmm. And it's, once again, it's quality control. It's like you do the best work you can do no matter what, right? So I always think getting bigger and growing is a great thing within reason of we're still doing all of our previous work well, you know, and all the projects we've taken on well. So I think that's always my biggest fear.
Interesting.
So, oh, you have something?
Did you want to, are we going to go on break or?
We can go on break right now. Are you tired? Let's take a break.
Let's take a little break. Hey, I have to take a whiz.
We'll be back right after this. We're going to talk some shit about some people. And then
we got
we'll
some
back.
More. Hey. We got some more wise words to get from this man right here. Give us a second. Bye.
Hey, hustlers. This is Rosie from Border Angels, a nonprofit that advocates for the migrant community. We hope that you can make it out to our Border Bash on December 14th at Border X in the city of Bell. See y'all there.
There used to be an interview I used to watch who would always ask his guest, if you were a porn star, what would your porn star name be?
Buck Naked.
Damn. Buck Naked?
Yeah, it's Seinfeld.
I've always said it was going to be the Carboner.
That's so great. your name works so well with that. I don't know, man.
Dude, you're...
Dictor?
Dictor
Vaya. Dictor?
His porn star name is Dictor Vaya.
I am Dictor. You
know, there was actually,
with a K.
I am
Dictor Vaya.
Exactly.
Well, welcome back. We're back with Dictor Vaya.
We're back with...
Dude, there was low-key someone in high school who called me Dictor because I was the editor-in-chief of our school newspaper, and she fucking...
Nerd!
Used to hate taking orders from me. And she's like, you're just Dictor. And I'm like, shut the fuck up, Lizette.
Shut up and get this fucking article out!
So I hope she sees
the public
that.
The needs to know.
We're looking at you, Lizette.
Yeah, fucking Lizette interviewing with interfering with Dictor's fucking empire.
Stop playing with our Dictor. Buzz off.
Anyway, we're fucking back here having a fun time.
Victor just got a stizzy. He was sharing that with us.
You're officially.
I did.
You're one of us.
Easy game. In the culture.
Welcome to the Sconte gang.
Shout out to. I can't wait till we get sponsored by Stizzy, dude.
That'd be great. It's gonna happen.
I just for sure.
I'm always smoking it on the show.
Well, what I was saying is like I had a PAX before. Shout out to the Stizzy sponsorship. My bad. We had a PAX before in here, but I had a PAX before and it was just way too expensive. I couldn't justify paying that much for a pod.
How much were they?
It's
yeah.
like $50.
Ouch. No way. No, shit.
That's fucking crack prices.
That's some high quality.
That's some tenderloin shit.
Dude, you go to the tenderloin. hey, you got that fucking PAX pod, man?
I need I got these cheeseburgers, man.
Oh, my God.
Dude, that vitamin E, that should have fucked you up.
I remember when we were when we went to that to SF that other time, I wanted to bring this up on the show because this, I remember when I heard it from you the first time, I'm like, this is fucking genius. I think every artist that watches this needs to hear this right now. You're talking about stories. And I would like you to give your whole spiel, if you remember it, about
my story
about, about like why it's important for an artist to have stories. Because the thing is, I guess this is also another question. But do you ever have like just like a bunch of artists now, like, you know, because they know who you are? Do you ever have them being like, "Yo, bro, check out my shit"?
Yeah, all the
like,
time.
Like, yeah. So like, what if one of those hopefuls are watching right now? Like, what? How do they, how does one catch the attention of Dictor Valle?
You, if, honestly, if you call me Dictor, you might catch my attention. I tell that to anybody who I talk to. Well, when I listen to their, so, all right, sorry, let me take 1,000 steps back. My brain's working faster than my mouth. So, I get a lot of demos, and I listen to all the demos, and I send them to the team when I think they're good, and we kind of make decisions as a team because I prefer it, and I like everybody's input. I get a lot of people hitting me up on Instagram, on just the email, whatever, and they'll send me their demo, and I'll listen, and the one thing I'm looking for is someone's story. What are you telling me? Because let's be real, as artists, and you can fight me on this all you want, but as artists, I feel like we're all just recreating things that have already been created. Oh, making them new, making them different, but it's all recreations. There's a lot of recycling.
Lens, yeah.
Exactly. So,
I agree.
Someone told me this story already. You know, how are you telling it to me from your point of view, from your experience? And if you don't have a story, there's nothing to clasp onto. There's nothing to, like, hold onto. The albums that we all know and love and people renown as like the most powerful, impactful albums of our decade, generation, whatever you want to call it, they all have stories. There's all something to follow and to cling on to and to learn how to apply to your life and learn how to relate to, right? That's all it is. I mean, you can have someone who knows how to put together the best crafted, produced song, technically, whatever you want to call it, and if it has no story, it doesn't matter. And once again, stories don't even have to be lyrics. Like, you can take me on a story. You can take me on an adventure through your song, and I can feel it, and I can hear it. Mm-hmm. And that changes everything, right? Mm-hmm. So if you are an artist who's looking to get their start, and you're getting inspired by other artists, which is important because that's what you do. You, like, learn. You learn what you like to really learn what you don't like, to learn how that stuff is created, to learn how to make it your own, technically, whatever, however you want to call it. Think about what story you have to tell in the world, right? That's what art is, right? It's everybody putting out their story. You guys are out here in the Us podcast putting out your stories through bits of people's stories. Like, I am saying something, and you guys are like, oh, that reminds me of this, because that's how we tell stories. That's, like, historically
hashtag
the exchange.
Relatable.
Exactly. Accessible. That's the word I always use. It has to be accessible. Like, you can make some shit that's been unlike anything else anyone's ever heard, like some Tame Impala, Kevin Parker shit, but it's accessible. There's something about it when you listen, you're like, yeah, things are changing, you know, like whatever it may be. So I think that's the most important thing as an artist. And that's like longevity. That's like what keeps artists around for a long time, not just for hints of success.
You gave us that spiel at a very important time in my life when I started doing my own music. And I made sure to take that into account. Like, when I heard that from you, not even just like as far as like, oh, if I want to get represented, this is what I have to do. It was just like, no, I was like, I like that. And that's why, like, I approached it. I'm like, well, what's my lens to bring to this thing? It's like a movie. And I'm like, that was cool that you kind of guided me to like, oh, I could just do what I've been doing.
Yeah, just make a movie with
sonic,
the music.
On a sonic platform.
All the same thing, dude. You're telling a story.
That's awesome.
I'm glad to hear that because I think like that's... When I tell people that, they're like, okay, but what's my story? I'm like, that's literally for you to figure out. And I can
you tell
you
me, you're
it.
My manager.
And that's the fun of it. That's the thing. So, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, too, because artists, like, I think any artists, we get too hopeless, right, when an obstacle comes our way. It's like, fuck, I don't come from, like, my parents, you know, weren't, like, fucking crackheads. Like, it's not that interesting. Like, they just worked
outside.
I don't have a sob story
or
whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
No, but, like, yeah, it's then, like, okay, but, like, what about your experiences? Like, how can you connect with other people? And I think that's a cool challenge. You look at that as a fun challenge. Like, all right, how do I write a song that expresses who I am with when I don't even know who I am?
Gucci
it's
gang,
a whole
Gucci
discovery.
Gang, Gucci gang,
there you
Gucci
go,
gang.
Yeah.
That's
classic
the most
songwriting.
Relatable song I've ever heard.
Yeah. Shakespeare Wishes.
Dude, that's a good one.
I'm glad you guys tell it because that, again, that helped me. And I was like, this needs to be like passed forward because it's such good advice.
like when I heard that, it kind of put into perspective like why I like certain music and why other music is there, just kind of
yes,
like, whatever.
That's exactly
it's
what
just
it
like,
was.
Oh
too.
Yeah, like these people are like putting themselves on their into their music, you know. And then you can hear like you can hear someone play music and you're like, this sounds good, but like
it what? Sounds technically good.
Yeah, it sounds
like
technically good.
Like, you are doing everything you are quote-unquote supposed to be doing right. Mm-hmm. But that's only like 30% of the battle.
But I feel nothing.
Yeah, I feel nothing. Boom,
30%.
I mean, shit, I would feel like... Don't quote me on the percentage. But like, I'm just throwing out numbers now. That's about 36.27% right now. But, yeah, I mean, you can hear something that's like technically good, but like, it does nothing. And I would honestly prefer to hate a song than to really just be indifferent. Because at least I feel something. I know there's a lot of music that I don't like that a lot of people like. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of artists who are people are like, oh, my God, they're so fucking amazing. And
like
I'm like,
who?
I don't get it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I got to think about that one. I'm going to think about it as we keep going, and I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'll tell you.
So while you think, you mentioned, like, you know, hearing bad music and stuff. I'm curious, what happens if and when an artist you work with releases something that you think is bad or not that good?
Damn.
Great question, you son of a gun.
That's a fantastic question, actually. That's a really good question. It wouldn't be released. No, I'm just kidding. I would very much push so heavily to not release and do whatever I can in order to advise. My job is to advise. I do not, at the end of the day, make the calls for the artist. I say, these are your options. This is what I recommend. This is what's going to happen if you do this. What do you feel like doing? And we usually talk it out and we usually get to the same page. In the moment I have someone who's pushing back on me and I'm saying, like, this song is so not good, does not represent you and your music, is a step backwards. I would probably continue to advise them to not push it, but at the end of the day, you release it.
How do you have the stomach to tell someone that? Is it, do you just like,
it's
put
constructive
aside, like,
it's okay. Construct, it always has to be constructive. I'm not one to be like, this fucking sucks,
dumbass.
But I am one to be like, this fucking sucks, how about we try this instead? Because that's
solutions.
More, that's
you come
more
with
productive.
Solutions.
Yeah, I'm fucking too. I think I'm too solutions oriented. My girlfriend gets mad at me because every time she's like, oh, I don't feel good. I'm like, what's wrong? What should we do? Here's 10 different options of things we can do right now. And she's like, I just want to sulk. And I'm like, what?
Bro, just let me revel in my misery. Like,
you're like, yeah, I, you're like, dude, I'm so bad at that. I'm so bad at that. Like, I've just realized, like, some people just want to feel what they feel. And I'm so on top of like, okay, well, let's figure out how do we fix this. What can we do right now? Mm-hmm.
It's a little too much. I'm
going through that same thing right now. I'm having to realize that like not everybody has to be happy. Like you just need to give it a sound.
Because like the
happiness, each person defines their own happiness, right? And sometimes people find happiness through the misery.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, some people just love to complain. That used to be my complaint against Angel. I'm like, it just seems like you love to complain.
I do though.
Because I was like, when we were talking about like the movies we loved last year, he'd be like, yeah, these movies were good. And then when it came to that, he's like, listen, yeah, this movie can suck a fat dick. Oh my fuck yeah! Like look, it looks like, you know, like he's glowing.
I've never seen him so passionate.
I've had so many people comment on Instagram just being like, finally, a movie you like. Or like, I'll put that I'm watching a movie or something. Like, where's your review of the fucking bad movie?
Oh my God. Yeah, hey, that's a good thing to look forward to.
Yeah, no, sometimes it's hard to take the work versions of us out of our personal life because we're just like so in
the world. I also operate like that in my personal life, though. Like, oh, okay. I do. Like, I'm not a sulker. I will every once
fuck
in a while
yeah,
get
yeah.
to a point, I don't know, man. I don't know if that's healthy either. I have no fucking idea.
No, it absolutely is. I guess the thing that I found is that like today, I'll be honest with you, right before, like, I've just been having like such a long week, and right before, like right here with Angel, like I started getting teary. I'm
yeah,
just like,
Chris,
man,
like he was gonna break.
I'm like, it's been
like,
a long
oh,
one, dude.
Man.
I was like, I don't know what I'm gonna do, but like I give myself those moments, and it, no, I know.
It's
that,
gonna be
now that we're all
right.
here together.
What do you need, man?
Here's
10 different options. 5 of them I recommend. The first top 2 will get you here.
No, but I think it's good to allow yourself the feeling because you – but I've noticed that just for me, they're brief, right? Like, I'll have a moment where I want to be sad. You feel it, go. It goes away. Like, okay, now, like, Tony Robbins, I don't know if he's – okay anymore. I don't know if he's canceled or not. I don't know. Yeah, but pretty much, I think that
what the fuck happened to Tony Robbins?
I think he's gonna be canceled.
Oh
I don't
my
know.
God!
I don't know, but he has.
We
a
can't have nice
tip.
Things.
We can't.
Never.
But a good tip for when you're feeling like when you want to get out of a funk is literally just change your physical like being. So like stand up straight, just be like put a, like force as much. But you know what, like
it's all gonna be good. And then like you'll feel the change, and you'll think about other things. So there's lots of other ways.
I just think the biggest thing is like some people just cope differently.
Yeah.
And that's just it. End of story. Like, I feel like people just cope differently, and I have my process. And for some reason, for such a long time, I was like, but this is what makes sense to me. And I'm learning that other things should make sense to me.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Because I have a different, like, approach. Like, the other day, like, I let myself be upset mm-hmm. and, like, be sad or angry or whatever. So it's like, but I've learned to express that. Be like, look, I'm going to be mad for a couple hours.
Oh, yeah.
So fucking leave me alone. I'm going to be mad. Nothing you can say is going to change my mind. Yeah. And don't try to make me feel better. Just let me be, because I know it's irrational, but I'm gonna do that.
That's some heavy communication, man. Communication is everything.
Being a resident advisor has...
Oh, my God. Well, let's talk through this. Dude, you shouldn't be smoking weed in your room and covering the smoke detector.
I fucking smoke. They can smoke.
Oh, but dude...
I have it on camera now.
That couple hours that we couldn't talk to you, like, I've never wanted to talk to you more.
This is the one moment I have everything to tell him.
I was like, Angel, where the fuck are you? And he's pissed. I can't share this with him. And then when he responded to us, I'm like, hey, guess who followed me? Are you cool now? I'm like,
yeah,
guess who followed me.
Yeah, I was like, look, check this out. I have a question that I came up with. Yeah. So
I hope you came up with it.
You're a natural born. Actually, someone else came up with it. You look like a natural born leader.
I appreciate that.
And so, and me and Chris, I think, are leaders as directors. You know, you're kind of like the director of the culture.
Absolutely.
You know? And so, how do you kind of balance being the boss and being like friends with these counterfoos? Like, is there a line you don't cross, or how do you manage those waters?
That's a great question.
Three so far.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep saying that. These are good questions. I just did this other interview recently, and I'm like, okay, these are all super generic. I won't say who it was with, but I did another interview before that, and it was just a whole crazy conversation where we just drank too many beers. Anyway, so it needs to be collaborative. I do believe in like openness over hierarchy. Like, I don't need to come in and like be like, I'm the boss here, and remember that. There are moments where I need to be like, look, like, just reminder, like, this is where we're at, and this is how this goes. Like, but very, very, very seldomly. Like, I don't have to do that often at all. But that's because I kind of treat my team like fucking people. And, like, we all are in here because we love this and care about it. Once again, it may be the baby that I created, but we're all here. It takes a village. You know what I mean? Like, I will not be here and be like, this is all my success and all my glory, because that's not what it is at all. Like, it is the team's work and effort and energy that's, like, really brought us to where we're at. So I make sure to remind them of that often. I practice consistently making sure that I like thank them, that mm-hmm. I congratulate them on their work, that we like are all in the same place, but also that we're all working. You know, it's not like I sit back and don't do anything. Like, I'm always working. I'm always doing something. I need to be the person who's working harder than everyone else, because I need to set the example for it. Right. We're all homies though. It's a family. Like, it's legit a family. Boundaries wise, I mean, you know, that's a great question. Maybe we work so much, we don't have too many boundaries. I think it's we're all pretty good about like having our way to step away and make sure that we kind of have our private lives. But everyone feels open when they want to be open and is like cool with one another. And that's everything that matters. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I try not to be like, I need to depend on a certain person who I work with as like my crutch emotionally or whatever. But you know, like, there's people who in the team who I go to for advice on certain things for the company because I trust them, and I know I brought them on board because they have that expertise, and I know that I'm not like the one-stop shop for everything. I'm learning every single day.
Right. Fuck yeah. I can't. Even this dude who's had such a fucking life already is still learning every day.
Yeah, for sure. As soon as you stop learning, life gets boring.
Absolutely.
Life gets so boring.
It is a lot of responsibility to be like in charge of a team. Like right now, like we're doing this Border Bash event at Border X, and even just doing this podcast, like That's why like I love telling Oscar. That's why I always try to invite him onto the camera and be like, Oscar, get on here. I always say, Oscar, we love you, Oscar, because it's like I learned in my last relationship that you can't just expect people to be like, you know, I love you, but I don't need to keep reminding you, or you know how much you mean to me. It's like, oh yeah, that can get lost on people if you're not. It's not about like the reassurance. It's just like
you know, just be loving.
I mean, like, even if it is the reassurance, it's like about just reminding someone.
Yeah.
You never know when it's going to be the last time. You know what I mean? Like, I know that's really fucking dark, but you never know what could happen. True. And I think, like, you learn that as you lose more people in your life. Mm-hmm. You're like, I don't want to regret a moment with a person if I can help it, right? Obviously, stuff happens. But
I don't want to wait for my life to be over.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know what you're saying.
No? Exactly. What? Well, no, what is that?
I'm done, dude.
That's me. Wait, I grew up Christian, so I couldn't hear most of these songs.
Oh, that's a cop-out. I grew up super Catholic. I could barely watch Disney movies, bro. I still don't know
many Disney. All you could watch was VeggieTales. You're laughing, but it's true.
I just watched one the other day.
I totally understand, though. I get it.
What song was that?
Who is it by? Dude, it's a famous song,
it's
though.
It's like in my DNA.
I don't
want to
wait for my love to be over.
You know where I know it from? South Park. Oh. I want to wait for my trip to keep it to be over.
Fucking shit.
I think it's Dawson's Creek, maybe, or some teen show.
No.
I don't know.
No,
look
I did not see that. I'm okay with that.
Some young white girl OC show or some shit that's unrelatable
California.
To people. The most unrelatable show to anyone in East LA and any hood.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
like,
pretty
what,
much.
OC?
Don't call it that.
Yeah, I got family in Anaheim, and that's like the hood of the OC, and I think it's super funny.
Really, Disneyland's there.
It's the hood of the OC.
Nobody likes to live. Nobody wants to live next to
nobody
Disneyland.
Nobody wants to live to Disneyland or not. Right. Yeah,
it's too noisy.
Fireworks every day.
That's the reason they don't want to live there. That's the sole reason.
Fucking
fireworks every night at 10, fool. I know, it's stupid, fool. It's loud.
So, bye.
Oh, that'd be such a...
Like, we just end it right here out of nowhere.
Hey, that'd be such a good way to just end it.
So, bye.
Like, no fucking...
Well, I mean, the reason we brought you here, amongst many things... Me. Yes, this is our mock Joker fucking... Oh,
it's
spoiler.
Not
yeah, spoiler, sorry.
That's not funny.
Yeah, sorry. Shootings aren't funny.
That's a good dark
joke. What's the word? What a great voice clip.
Soundbite.
Yeah, that's a great soundbite. Mass shootings aren't funny. No, but we brought you on here, Victor, amongst many reasons, but because we feel like, especially now that you're relocating here to LA, now that you're closer to all of us, do you feel like this is like a new? Does this feel like a new stage of your life, of your career? Do you feel like things are just going so well that like you can now make the move out here and it make it worthwhile?
Did you have to move to LA? Is that why you did it?
No. Oh. I thought that. I thought it was just like, you know what, like things are just getting real hot.
I was down here like every other weekend.
Yeah.
I was
playing
time.
Flew a lot.
Yeah, I was down here every other weekend. Well, maybe I did have to. I at some point I was like, it's easier to make LA home base. I can be closer to my family. I can like be down here building, growing, be here with the people I love, and then just split time between the Bay, which is basically what I'm doing. So I'm switched now. Like I'm basically up in the Bay a good amount of the time.
That feels healthier. Because it's nice to like pop into the Bay every now and then. Like whenever we visit, it's gorgeous.
I love Oakland with all of my heart. It's done so much to kind of help raise me as a young man or whatever. Like, it's amazing. I love that place. I'll always love it. I till this day will always say that Oakland has the best weather than any other place I've ever been to. But it was just a point where it turned into like I need to focus on being able to like, you know, spend less time traveling and more time building down here. My team up there is solid, super solid. I got to get the team down here and work on that as well too. So with that being said though, I'm super excited. There's a lot more going on down here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, we're just getting started.
Yeah, the Stizzy headquarters.
things are looking up for us.
I mean, just the fact there's tacos everywhere, we're done. Done game.
Is that not up there?
Not everywhere like here, man. Damn. Not everywhere.
Remember, oh, yeah, we did. We had trouble finding that
dude,
one taco
tough.
Spot in Oakland.
It's fucking tough. Like,
yeah, it's hard.
You look up food though. Places and, like, everything's different. Like, what the hell?
Why is all this food different?
I fucking hate this shit, man. Can't get a fucking taco at 2
it's
in the morning.
I love both places for such different reasons. Just so, I mean, LA's home. LA's always been home. LA will always be home, 100%. Going in the Bay was the best, both the best and the hardest decision I've ever made in my life. Leaving my family, I'm really close to my siblings. I basically helped raise them. Like, all of that was very difficult for me. But it helped to really raise me to the man I am now, you know?
Right.
But LA's always been like home base, you know? So it's nice to be back in like an environment where I'm like, I get to relearn it as an adult.
Where you from,
my
city?
Exactly. Exactly. Like, ah, exactly. I'm like, wow, do you hear it? It's so great. It's one of those things where it's like nice to be back in a place that I know, but a place that I have so much to learn. Because it's like I haven't lived here in 10 years.
And now, while you're here, I mean, I have my final question. Do you want to go first?
Say, that's beautiful.
That's very beautiful. What do you now hope to accomplish while you're here?
World domination.
World Fuck domination. Yes. World domination. Just expanding the team.
Yeah. We just want to do better work, good work. I mean, we do great work already. It's always about getting better.
I have a question. So I just thought this right now. I mean, obviously, like a couple of artists that you're managing are considered to be part of, like, you know, like that brown wave of like music. Does that mean much to you as a manager? Do you think about shit like that?
100%.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm reminded when I'm in certain rooms that there's not many of people who look like us. There's not many people who come from the world we come from. So I think about that often. I never really impose it on the artists. It just works that
That's
way.
That's cool.
Because the way I've structured counterculture is that it's mostly like people of color and like artists of color. My staff is all people of color, queer people of color. So it's like really finding a way to empower a demo of people that like look like me, have similar experiences to me.
Right.
To do something that I never dreamed of doing.
Right.
I never dreamed of working in music ever. Like, it was such a crazy concept that now that I'm in it, I have to remind myself, like, I'm actually kind of doing something fun and cool that I love doing. Like, I enjoy doing it every day, and I make a living doing it, you know?
Yeah. Well, no, yeah, that's just cool. I mean, I respect the hell out of that, but I just wasn't sure if, like, that was something that was even, like mattered to, like, some people. Because I think for, I don't know, like, for just, like, bands around here, like, they're all brown. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, but like when you're thinking when you think big picture shit, like, does that, like, well, I wonder if that means something.
But
to people,
I also see it kind of being taken advantage of, almost to the point where it's like, I'm gonna make a brown song. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna make a Latino bop.
I feel that. Yeah, there's that 100%. Too.
Like, people see it as like a marketing tactic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, but if you have an artist or someone, you're an artist and you're genuinely writing about experiences as like a first generation, let's say, just to hit it close to home, like first generation Latino, Hispanic, Chicanx, whatever you want to call yourself, and like the experiences with language, the experiences with cultures, the experiences with like existing in the in-between and not necessarily one or the other, like that in itself is such an amazing experience that is hard to replicate. It's not just brown, it's like an immigrant experience in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like it comes from the history and the legacy of colonialism and all of that stuff, and I think that kind of has a basis in actually providing an experience that
your thing just died.
Oh, it did? Yeah. And a story that only some people can really tell. You know what I mean?
Fuck yes.
Fuck yeah.
All right, so it looks like we're wrapping this shit up. I think I have one final thing. So this season is called Level 2.
Okay.
Because we feel like we're at a point where we're kind of leveling up our careers. Like, the versions of ourselves last year have been leveled up to who you see now. Sounds like you've been leveling up too, with this move to LA is kind of leveling up. What is your advice for bands that are kind of like, what do you think a band requires to kind of make that jump from like garage band and turn themselves into an artist to kind of be taken seriously?
I would even say to managers too, to young aspiring managers.
Yeah. There's no like magic secret or ingredient, to be super honest with you.
Damn it.
Yeah. I'm sorry, everyone. You could just cancel this episode.
Yeah, I fucking tried, dude.
There's not one thing I can say for every artist that is like, this is what you need to do. Mm-hmm. I think the comment I made about stories does ring true for everyone. I think the moment that you decide you are going to do something without any inhibition, without any reluctance, without any hesitance, or at least without that letting those things cripple you, it will happen. It'll take time and like persistence, but it'll happen.
And it may not look like superstar, but you don't need to be a superstar anymore. That's the best part.
Hell yeah.
Love it.
So if you're not a superstar, it's okay. You can still have a good life.
You can suck and enjoy it.
Fuck yeah. There's so many... Let me just go. There's so many fucking shitty ass bands out there. Thank you so much, Victor, for coming on, having a good ass time.
Of course.
This was the Us Podcast, and we will see you later because I'm going to do Chris's favorite thing that I never say, because even when we lose,
we win.
Goodbye. Late.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Chris. Chris, thanks for listening to another fucking awesome episode of the Us Podcast.
Level 2.
If you want to follow me on Instagram, you can follow at the Chris Carmona.
You can follow me at AngelEyeSalinas_.
Make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at Us Podcast and check out our YouTube channels because we really need that support from y'all right now.
Listen to us on Spotify, listen to us on Apple Music, listen to us on Stitcher, literally anywhere you can get your podcasts.
You literally have no fucking excuse not to listen to us, bitch.
Whoa!
I'm back, baby!
Just kidding. Thanks, guys. See ya.
Bye.
Oh, thanks, y'all.
Holy shit. Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Cool.
Nice. That was fun.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I was so close to calling out Omar.